BBC Six Music Podcasts.
Six Music.
This is a free download from the BBC.
Find out more at bbc.co.uk/sixmusic.
And now, Adam and Joe.
Wait a second. Well, let's swap this around. Because people have complained that by starting first, I always win. Do you know what I mean?
You don't start first.
No, by you starting first, I always win.
Oh, I see.
Because it goes, you know, you sing your bit, I sing my bit, you capitulate.
That's the formula.
And that's the formula, and people are finding it repetitive.
Who's finding it repetitive?
Jojo, Jojo. Jojo, 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 that's all I got. Jojo, Jojo, God. Go on, you do yours now.
I'm still responding to that one.
Jojo, 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 Jojo. You're not just insulting me, you're insulting Kerry Lyons, who suggested that. Jojo, 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 Jojo. You do one then.
Right. Get ready for this.
Adam, 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 Adam,
Adam,
This fits better.
Headman!
Yes. Yes.
Headman!
Yes. Oh, now you've got it, you see. You didn't have it at the beginning.
Yes!
I mean, at the beginning, that was like a fight between two equally feeble people.
Yeah.
That wasn't going anywhere. But then at the end, it really took off.
Yeah.
Well done.
Thank you.
You won that one.
Thanks!
For the first time ever. How exciting.
That is exciting.
Welcome to the podcast, listeners.
I've just got
to
thank a couple of people. Got to thank the boys from Violet Youth and Lewis from Edinburgh. And I think there was even a couple more people who all suggested
the Batman theme.
Yeah, yeah.
I've got to thank Kerry Lyons for suggesting Hi Ho from Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
I can't believe you went for that one.
But I'm going to thank her in a slightly feeble way.
Mm.
You know?
How?
Like I just did.
Oh, okay.
My name's Joe Cornish.
I'm Adam Buxton.
This is a podcast based on the highlights of the Adam and Joe radio show on BBC Six Music that goes out live every Saturday from 9 till noon.
In this podcast, you will find out once and for all whether you are entitled to call yourself a Black Squadron member. If you listen to the show on Listen Again, that'll all be cleared up. We have some Stephen news for you. We've got excellent Text the Nation feature for you.
It's tough trying to recall things that happened an hour ago, isn't
especially
it?
Especially as they're quite nonsensical a lot of the time.
Yeah, we've got all sorts of... it's a load of old chit,
yeah,
basically, and you should enjoy it enormously.
Congratulations, you have stepped in a pile of chit. Does that make it too overt?
It's all over your shoes. So, yes, do enjoy what's coming up. And we'll be back at the end of the podcast. No. We'll also be here in the middle of the podcast with some retro Text the Nation excitement, exclusive podcast content.
That's right. And we also have for you news about the Camden Crawl. So stay tuned for that because it's very important. You can get yourself involved with us at the Camden Crawl. Not in a romantic way, although you never know.
It's always a possibility.
Exactly. But so stay tuned. We'll be telling you about that at the end of the podcast. Here we go.
Are you ready for the Adam and Joe podcast? Made with little nuggets from their radio show. Mildly amusing mini moments from the past. Beautifully preserved in super stereo. 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 Everybody likes it from your sister to your mother. Stereo.
There is an elite listening force known as Black Squadron. They are trained to rise early on a Saturday morning and listen to the very beginning of the Adam and Joe show live on Six Music. They don't just listen when it's convenient later in the week with the iPlayer or the podcast. They listen now, in the present, without the ability to skip past the bits they don't like. Black Squadron, we salute you.
That was a special new jingle there.
There's a little rousing jingle for the squadron.
Yes, welcome to Black Squadron, the name for the elite group of listeners who, I'm going to repeat the word listen in an unprofessional way, who listen to the show from the very beginning, live.
It's very unprofessional.
Some emailers emailed in and said that they were confused because they listened to the show via Listen Again, right, but they still get to hear the special Black Squadron bits.
Yeah. That's Phantom Squadronage.
Is that Phantom Black Squadron?
You are not part of Black Squadron if you are doing Listen Again. If you're listening to this show on the iPlayer, even if you listen to the whole show in its entirety, I applaud you for doing so. But you are not in any way part of Black Squadron.
So if someone were to listen to the show on Listen Again and respond to one of Black Squadron's commands, what would we make of that?
Well, you're welcome to do so. But it's like...
You don't have any operational duties, though.
No, it's like running around, playing in a sandpit and pretending you're part of the SAS.
You're like one of those plastic policemen. Fake bacon.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Right.
You're a community support officer. You've got no powers. All you can do is phone the police.
You know, you're worse than a community support officer. You're like one of the cardboard cutouts at Sainsbury's.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad we've cleared that up, though. How about a command, though, for Black Squadron?
I don't know. Well, here's a message from Sergeant Chris from the squadron. He says, maybe you could set us a food-related eating task each week, or any task you can think of. Black Squadron will undertake any mission. If either of you has a Facebook account, please join the group, and you'll be made executive officers with any job description you like. That's nice of you, Sergeant Chris, but, you know, we created Black Squadron. We run the squadron. We appreciate the Facebook account, but we don't need Facebook to give us our, powers.
No.
We've got a lot of power. I mean, we're a little corrupt with the power, which is why some of the commands we might issue might be...
I've got a couple of possible commands there.
Yeah, what have you got here?
Don't read them out. Just look at them and see if you think either of them are suitable.
Okay. First one's a little weird. They're good, though. I like them. Yeah, I think... Can't you issue both of them?
I don't think we can issue both of them.
Oh, really?
No.
Do the first one, then.
You must put bread in your pocket.
Come on, Black Squadron, jump to it.
Text the nation. Text the nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text!
Yes, it's Text the Nation time, listeners. We're launching this exciting feature earlier than usual in the programme so we can build up an extraordinary head of steam. That's the theory, anyway.
Yeah, that's... sorry.
You've got a bit of Lady Hawk in
Lady
there.
Lady Hawk coming.
There she goes.
There we go. Yes, Text the Nation. And what's it about this week?
This week, it's all about... Now, you had quite a good way of describing it just then, Adam, but it's little things you do to make the boring business of day-to-day life more exciting.
Yeah, making life more fun by playing kind of little games with yourself.
Yeah, so this is one thing I like to do. And I think a lot of other people probably like to do it too, is if I'm just busying myself around the house.
Drink heavily.
There's that, but that's expensive.
Yeah.
We're talking about things you can do for free.
Exactly.
And I like to just make little sound effects. If I open a door, if I, push a light switch, if I enter a room, I like to put my head very close to the door so the door sort of wipes frame in my eyes and go...
Right. You're like a walking Foley artist.
I'm like a walking Edgar Wright film.
Right.
Everything I do makes little sound effects. I'm not broadcasting them to other people in the room or anything.
Sure.
They're just to myself in my head.
Yeah, these are things that you tend to do on your own most of all, aren't they?
Absolutely. Here's another thing. I've got wooden floorboards in the hall. If I'm coming down the stairs at speed and I'm heading to the front room and I'm going across down the hall to get to the front room, I like to build up a head of steam and skid in my sock feet as far as I can down the hall and then grab the door frame to the living room and kind of pull myself back. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Skids McGraw.
Tom Cruise in Risky Business.
A little like that, without the dancing.
Yeah.
But it's exciting. Sometimes I nearly fall over.
Yeah.
You know, other times it looks really cool, even though there's nobody looking.
Are you never anxious about splinters?
No, it's highly polished.
Is it?
Yeah. But there's a couple of things. Does that give the idea kind of thing?
Yeah. I mean, I was trying to think of similar things. And I must say I've eliminated a lot of these from my routine because...
Because you've grown up.
Because I've grown up. I'm such a grown-up man. And I've got children and things. And children tend to provide you
with
those...
They take care of that kind of thing.
...moments, exactly. But there are, when I'm on my own, and I do spend a lot of time on my own during the week.
For obvious reasons.
For obvious reasons. What are those?
I'm just being nasty.
Yeah, thanks. I tend to talk to myself a great deal. Do you do a lot of talking to yourself?
I love to talk to myself.
Yeah.
Well, another thing just popped into my head. If you're cooking, it's good fun to do a little commentary, as if you're on a cookery program.
You don't do that.
No, I don't do that, but I might do it.
Right.
You know, do a little bit of Nigella-style commentary.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I often like to chat to myself.
Oh, this is classic. Check this out. It's classic, man. Oh, no, this is so classic. Yeah, look at that. It's classic.
So listen, we're going to do some more Stevenage news later in the programme, but I thought I'd tell you about my trip to the ABC concert.
Oh, yeah.
Because we haven't been live for a couple of weeks. So there's 2 weeks of exciting activities to talk about. And was it kind of after the last live show, I went to the ABC concert at the Royal Albert Hall, where they played The Lexicon of Love all the way through, accompanied by the BBC Philharmonic Orchestra, introduced by Trevor Horn, conducted by Anne Dudley. This was a once-in-a-lifetime event. It was very exciting. The Royal Albert Hall was packed out.
Yeah.
It was brilliant. And it was really sort of apt for an ABC gig because they're a very sort of lush, luxurious band.
Mm.
They like their velvet and plush leathers. Is that the right phrase?
Yeah, that is exactly the right
phrase. So they look really happy, you know, like a they just really fitted into the ambience of the Royal Albert Hall. And one of the most exciting things for me was just before they started playing, there was a very loud Stephen from the upper circle, I think. And then in reply came, I'd say, about 15 or 20 Just Cummings.
Mm.
And it sounded magnificent in the Royal Albert Hall. It just sounded like it really fitted.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It was orderly. It was appropriate. It was noble. It just felt absolutely right.
Wow.
And it made me really happy.
That's great. Inspiring Stevenage.
Very inspiring. And then everyone was well behaved through the rest of the gig. There was no Stevenage to clash with the concert or anything.
Yeah, nothing to put the performers off.
Unlike something that happened at a Bat for Lashes gig a week or so ago that we'll tell you about later in the programme. There was some Stevenage at a Bat for Lashes gig and that might not have gone so well.
Sting!
Nice to have you along. You're on smooth, smooth digital six music. Ooh, smooth, like a smooth bald head. Mmm, or a glass. Ooh, that's too smooth. Mmm. Oh, sorry. So it's a lovely day outside.
It is. Beautiful. It's gorgeous.
Day. And
it's George ass.
It's absolutely George ass. It's going to be nice for the next few days, apparently. Hooray!
Hurrah!
There was a nice day. How is your Easter, by the way?
Oh, it was good.
Did you have a good one?
Oh, yes.
Man, we had a really good one. On one of the nice days last week, because it got a bit rainy towards the end of the week, but on one of the nice days, we went to the Dino Park in Norfolk.
Ooh.
And the
are they animatronic?
No.
They're static dinosaurs.
Yeah, they're fiberglass.
Right. Are they good?
Yeah, they're good enough.
Yeah. Good as the Crystal Palace ones?
Don't know them.
Oh, they're very famous. They're Victorian.
Are they?
In Crystal Palace Park in South London, yeah.
What did they make them out of then? They didn't have fiberglass in Victorian times.
They're made out of children.
Did they?
Yeah, everything's made out of children chimney in Victorian sweeps. Times. Yeah, old chimney sweeps.
That's right.
Discarded ones.
My chimney sweep's broken. He can be made into a dinosaur now. For the park.
That's what it was like in Victorian times.
That's exactly what it was like. They got them a bit wrong, the Crystal Palace dinosaurs, famously, because they didn't have the archaeological information that we have now.
Right.
So they're a bit mutoid.
Well, they got bowler hats and stuff on.
They've got pince-nez on and spats.
It is well known that dinosaurs used to wear spats. Smart dinosaurs, at least. The less smart dinosaurs from the Cretaceous period...
Cretaceous?
Wore no spats.
How is Dinosaur World in Norfolk then?
It was joyous because it was such a lovely day and the place, essentially it's like a beautiful park really.
Right.
It's an excuse just to walk around
in a park and
there's a little, you know, some fiberglass dinosaurs around there for colour. And also they have some great climbing frames and things, adventure playground type stuff, right?
Right.
And it's always tricky for me because when... I go to those kind of places with the children. They run around them and they say, come on, Daddy, come on, you know, chase after us and stuff, right?
Mm.
But I'm never quite sure if it's frowned upon to actually get on the, you know, adventure playground stuff with the
as
children
an adult.
As an adult, right? Because if all the adults start swarming on there,
things are going to start breaking. Then you get the bigger kids thinking that it's okay for them to do that, and they start pushing the little ones around. So it's better if the adults just stay off. But then my children are quite young, so sometimes I want to take care of them, make sure they don't fall off the higher walkways.
You can stand beside it, though, can't you?
Yeah, but this time it wasn't too crowded, so I thought, well, I'll go on there. But I'm always careful that I don't like get in anyone's way or freak out any of the other toddlers and stuff.
Good.
So I was doing that. I was being careful going after one of my young sons when this little chap, he must have been about three, he was just ahead of me, and he looked back and saw me, and he just started crying.
Yeah. I feel like that sometimes.
Do you?
Yeah.
When you're behind me.
When I look at you. I just want to burst into tears.
I want to cry.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
No, that's alarming. But three-year-olds, they're unstable chemicals, you know?
Well, he was all on his own up there, right? So I was looking around and I was thinking, oh, the poor little chap, he's got separated from his designated caregiver. And I said, hey, it's okay, it's okay, you're all right. Right? I thought, I took the decision not to ignore the chap, right?
Right.
And I said, hey, you're okay. And then I sort of looked around, and his mummy was stood down, and she was looking up.
Mummy.
And she looked at me and she said, oh, sorry, he's afraid of beards.
Oh.
He's afraid of beards.
Well, that's not surprising.
What's that? How is it in any way acceptable for your child to have a fear of beards excused and cultivated by his mum?
Well, she's probably not encouraging it.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm trying to think of characters for children who three-year-olds would be exposed to who have beards.
The Twits.
Do the Twits have beards?
I think one of them
the Roald Dahl Twits.
Yeah.
One of three-year-olds don't read Roald Dahl.
I mean, I can understand
that. The Builder? No beard. Postman Pat? No beard.
None beard.
What's the sailor called off the telly? Postman Sailor?
Sailor Barleymo.
Sailor. No, what's he? Captain Pugwash.
Oh, yes.
He had a beard.
He was a pirate man.
But he's been retired.
He has. But he was a cuddly pirate man, an avuncular pirate. Father Christmas, beard.
Mm.
Brian Blessed, beard. You know, he's
they
a
are
nice
scary.
Man.
I mean, the idea of growing hair out of your face is scary as
well,
a child.
Come on. I just thought it was absurd and hurtful.
So what did you do?
I said, up, afraid of beards? Oh, for Christ's sake, get alive.
To the child, you said.
To the child.
And then
to his mum.
Said,
shape up! Toughen the boy up! There's worse things than beards out there, you know!
That would have fixed it.
Fixed the problem right
fixed
up.
Fixed it. Problem solved.
Problem solved. Job done.
Sloved.
Yeah. A little groovy break. Now back to work.
Don't know if you saw the specials playing on Jules Holland the other day, Joe.
I did, yes.
I mean, they performed very well. They're still sounding fantastic. But Terry Hall didn't look as if he wanted to be there. In the slightest. Or do you think that that's just his shtick?
I think he's always, you know, he's never been a sort of enthusiastic performer. That's part of his skill and his mood, isn't it? That,
right, he's got a kind of lugubrious demeanour.
Yeah, that was always the sort of duality, if I may be so pretentious, of their music, wasn't it?
It's getting me hot.
You know, they sung about slightly depressing things,
right?
But in a sort of cheerful, scary,
upbeat way, yeah,
yeah. But then with sort of gloomy, moody bass lines and stuff.
I wanted to reach in and give him a little tickle and a hug.
Mm-hmm.
How would he have responded?
Slap
me away?
I don't know. It's hard to tell. I think he would have liked it. I've met him once,
yeah.
And he was very nice indeed.
Well, there's no question that he's a nice fella.
Yeah.
But as far as your performing persona goes, you know what I mean.
But it's good. There's room for all kinds of moods. Shades, colours.
Is there?
You know, yeah, on the spectrum, on the pop spectrum.
Yeah.
Tell you what I worry about on later.
What do you worry
about? Is Jules's presentational style. It's because it's almost incomprehensible. It's becoming incomprehensible. Oh, it's a brilliant band. It's a fantastic noise. Jack Panotte.
That's all right. All the key facts are there. The salient points.
Were they?
Yeah. Brilliant band. Exciting. Yeah. Jack Pignatte.
He just seemed a bit drunk on that one. Do you think he gets a little bit drunk?
No, he's too professional.
No, he's too professional.
He's just, that's his thing, man.
He's not drunk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely not.
He's definitely not drunk.
He might have a little flute of champagne at the Hootenanny.
Yeah.
But the rest of the time, definitely.
I think every day's a Hootenanny.
For Jules.
For Jules.
Wake up.
It's a 24/7 Hootenanny.
Bit of boogie woogie.
Oh, Hootenanny. Not again. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to have some breakfast at the British Wonderful Bacon and Eggs. Mum's is going to the cooker. Over here's the cooker. That's brilliant. And over here, also have the toaster. I don't know. Is it back to the gardens? Wonderful flowers from the garden. That's him in his kitchen.
Yeah. I want to be there.
This is my wife. This is my wife. My children are getting the car. Brilliant, the car. Round of applause for the car.
I love it in Jules' world.
It's brilliant.
Can
that's,
we go
that's
there?
That's how he conducts his daily
every
life.
Every week.
Great times, great friends, great highlights. The Adam and Joe's Six Music Podcast. It's what extreme boredom was made for. Excuse me.
We still have jingles being sent in to us by listeners. Thank you so much. Some of them are very, very insane. And but pleasingly so.
We've got quite a backlog now. We're going to think of something to do with them, a way that you can listen to them.
We do try and put them on the website, right?
Put them on the website. You might be thinking, well, why didn't you play them on the show, you idiot holes? That would be a way to get the listeners to listen to them. But we feel if we play too many listener-made jingles, we might compromise the identity of the program.
Well, we spent millions and millions of pounds crafting and researching a brand for this show, and the jingles are a very important part of aggregating the brand identity.
That's taxpayers' money,
right?
That's gone into designing those jingles.
Text the Nation, text. That is aggregated brand identity spikes.
That took how long to come up with? 2.5 years. It was focus grouped.
It was
for
heavily focus grouped in the States for a decade in the 70s.
Went through lots of variations before we were actually allowed to play it.
They flew a couple of examples of the jingle to the moon.
Where it was written by a man called Alan Briggs.
That's right.
Briggsy. He's a very famous jingles writer from the 70s.
He exploded last year. Spontaneously combusted.
Did he?
Yeah, from genius.
Did he?
Yeah, it's the first known case of that happening. But listen, we are going to break the rules right now, though, by playing a jingle that a listener has sent in. And this is an unusual one because it's a cappella and it's performed, shall we say, by a young lady. She's 6 years old. She's called Charlotte Gilman. And here it is.
Text the Nation. Text. But what if I don't want to? Text the Nation and sending an email. Is that a problem? It doesn't matter. Text.
Wow, she's getting into it. She got all the way into it.
She almost spontaneously combusted there at the end.
That was amazing, wasn't it?
Thank you so much, Charlotte.
I love the way it distorts at the end. That's intense. There's someone who, at such a young age, is incredibly passionate about this segment of the show.
Yeah, and the confusion. She wants to clear up the confusion. You know, what if I'm using email? Is that a problem? No, it doesn't matter.
It's as if she likes the confusion.
Absolutely. So let's get into it. What are we talking about this week?
We're talking about things that you do that make doing boring things more exciting.
We're trying to think of a pithy title for it. Our listeners are good at coming up with titles for these things, so maybe you can help us. We thought of head fun, like things you do on your own to make your life more fun.
Yeah, you'll soon pick it up once we read out some examples. Here is one from Claire in Walthamstow. Sometimes when I go swimming, I like to liven things up by pretending I've been shipwrecked and I'm swimming for the nearest tropical island.
Yes.
Now that's perfect, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mundane activity in the local pool turned into an amazing adventure on the high seas simply by having fun in her cranium.
That's right. Sometimes I like to think that I'm in an emergency situation, right?
Do you?
Yeah. And I'm escaping and there's something coming after me.
Right. And what would you be doing while you were thinking that?
Well, yes, maybe swimming or something.
Yes.
I'm swimming away. There's baddies.
Yeah, that's a good thought. Here's another one from James F. On the tube, I imagine that my carriage has crashed on a desert island. I then work out if I would be tribal leader. And if so, I award myself a mate from the available females.
I do that too.
You will be my mate.
I think about that. When you're in a confined space and you're traveling, you sort of think, If it all kicked off, right? If we were stranded, then who would the human race be procreated by and
me.
With?
Me.
Yeah, obviously me.
No, but me.
No, me.
Right.
I mean, if you and I were in the same carriage, it would be a problem because we'd be fighting.
Yeah, no, it'd be all right. We go for different sort of bird
Yeah, you reckon?
Yeah.
Well, we established this in the break. We were talking about what kind of... I was saying that I find catalogue models much more attractive and approachable than high fashion models.
Personally, I can't keep the high fashion models away. I can't swat them off fast enough.
I think they're too thin and they're too spiky and frosty looking.
Spiky.
Whereas I like the curvaceousness and the smiliness of the catalogue models, and they look better in undies.
Listen, let's stick to the subject, though.
All right.
Rich in Bristol, when descending a flight of stairs, I like to go down sideways, making extravagant hand movements like I'm in a flashy musical number. That's good. That's really making stair descending as exciting as it can be.
Yeah. Kicking out his legs and stuff and going,
he's saying hand movements.
Hand movements.
It's jazz hands kind of thing.
Jazz hands down the stairs.
Yeah. Chris says, I like to jump on the supermarket trolley and launch myself down the aisle, picking up as many things as I can before coming to a halt. I'm 46.
Adam and Joe.
Naughty.
Ooh, my nipples.
One of the nice things about Easter and the holidays for me was, getting to hang out with the children, obviously.
Yes.
And going around and meeting friends and seeing their little children. And you don't often, years go by these days and you don't get to see your friends, right? Like, you might be lucky if you get to see them twice a year now. Sometimes that happens.
I see you every week.
Yeah, I know, but that's it's a weird
distorted
situation, isn't it? So you get to see, their children just shoot up and they grow up really quickly. Like, the last time I saw this little chap the other day was when he was just crawling around, and suddenly he's running around talking. It's quite disconcerting. But he's got some good mnemonics, this little boy that we were hanging out with. And one of them, because he's potty training at the moment, that he's been taught by his parents, was a wee or a poo in the potty or the loo is the way to get some chocolate. Because he gets, like, to encourage him to...
Have they made that up?
Yeah, they made it up. They're giving him rewards of chocolate, right?
That's good, I suppose. It's probably effective, isn't it?
It's very effective. I mean, he was really proud to tell it to us as well, to sing it to us. A wee or a poo in the potty or the loo is the way to get some chocolate.
I wish I got chocolate for that.
Well, that's what I was thinking.
Is it?
Yeah, because I was that mnemonic was stuck in my head the rest of the day.
Could you flip it round?
I was thinking, where's my chocolate?
I'll do a poo on the floor if you don't come in the door and give me a bar of chocolate.
If I don't wee on my sheets, could I have some special treats? If you say no, I will punch you.
Oh, that's very different. That's a mnemonic you don't want to... That's not really a mnemonic, is it? We're using that word incorrectly, but you don't want to teach that to kids.
No, exactly.
They'll end up punching things.
Okay, all right, then, if you don't...
It'd be good... It'd just be good to think of... Well, they're not mnemonics, are they?
No, it was a kind of a mnemonic,
a rhyme. An instructional rhyme.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, I just tailed off there.
It would be good. I agree with you. Anyway, I'd like to dedicate this next song to young people who are potty training everywhere.
Wow, they're a tough audience to reach. That's a tough crowd.
That's our main demographic.
Do you think? The under threes.
Yeah. This is for you.
Adam and Joe with a razor blade overcoat, sitting on a food machine, eating dirty pickles with a pong.
So Text the Nation this week, listeners, is all about things you do to make mundane activities more exciting, like little games you play. Matt has texted in with a suggestion for it, which is autotainment.
Autotainment.
That's quite good, isn't
well,
it?
Well, this is one of the things we were talking about,
though. Like cars.
It sounds a little onanistic. We were talking about maybe calling it solo fun.
But that does sound onanistic.
I mean, obviously, that's one of the fun things that you can do to cheer yourself up on your own. But
autoerotic behaviour.
Yeah, but we're talking about other stuff. We're talking about less sexy stuff, I suppose.
Yeah, I suppose so. Here's one from Chris, who says, "Hi, if I've got to do a journey on foot, I like to pretend I'm in a race and try to overtake people ahead of me. I start in 22nd position and try to get to first place before I reach my destination. This can be quite a challenge if the streets are quiet."
That's a good game.
That is a good game, but that would result in possibly quite aggressive walking in the streets.
Shoving. He turned into one of the shovers,
barging past people.
You know, we get a lot of emails from people who get very furious with slow walkers.
yep.
on the street.
I get furious with slow walkers.
Well, I mean, young people tend to get furious with slow walkers, but generally, you know, people from out of town, slightly older people.
You've got to be tolerant.
You have to be tolerant. Yeah. Also, there's nothing wrong with taking life slowly every now and again. You know, everyone's in such a rush, yeah? Here's a chill cake. Would you like a slice?
No, thanks.
No,
I made it for you. Stuff it up your gob hole.
Please.
Stuff it up your gob
hole. Have some chill cake.
Yeah, no one wants your chill cake. It's stale.
Okay.
And horrible.
All right.
Emlyn from Uxbridge says, whenever I'm doing something mundane, I always pretend I'm the champion of it. Mm-hmm. When I was a paperboy, I used to pretend I was in a paperboy competition with loads of other paperboys competing round the corner. I guess it's every employer's dream.
Yeah.
That's true, isn't it?
To have someone that motivated.
Exactly. To feel competitive, again, in a very nice way, polite way, not aggressive.
Wow. You see, I think I used to do these things, but I've lost...
What's happened to you?
I don't know. I've lost my stuff. I've just started baking
chill
cakes.
Lost your stuff?
Yeah.
You've had too many chill cakes.
Had way too many
You're
chill
overly
cakes.
Chilled. You're like a lobster about to be boiled.
One thing I do, does this count in the Text the Nation thing, is I kind of make up jingles. I mean, I make up jingles for the show a lot, but I make them up in my everyday life as
yes.
well. I like to sing to myself about certain situations.
Mm.
You know? Oh, we've got no fish fingers. There are no fish fingers. I wish that I'd stocked up on the fish fingers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I could have something else.
So hang on, you're doing this just to yourself?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, oh, this is good.
That kind of thing.
Yeah,
know.
That's good.
Oh no, we're out of toilet paper. I can't believe we're out of the TP.
So your life is like a really boring rock musical.
Or a bad radio station.
If Tim Rice and Andrew Lloyd Webber wrote a West End musical about just quite a boring day in your life.
Exactly.
These would be some of the songs on the soundtrack album.
That's right.
Out of toilet paper. That would be one of my favourites.
And then when I do something wrong.
Did they all sort of go like this?
Sometimes they do. Depends what situation it is.
Right.
You're a stupid idiot. You're a stupid idiot. You're an absolutely stupid idiot.
Sounds like that might be the refrain.
Sometimes I sing that to myself if I've done something.
Do you? About yourself.
You're a colossal prat. You are a colossal prat. That one doesn't scan.
No.
But that would be, you know,
It sounds like a quite thrash metal flavoured album.
That's for an angry one. But I have some, you know, I have like, ooh, nice morning, a really nice morning. Ooh, nice and fresh this morning. You know, usually if it's a lovely day and I'm walking outside, I'll go, I usually, in my head, I'm singing, oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. But then I sort of think, why do I always sing that? It's pathetic. That's the only nice morning song I know. So then I start making them up, and that's when it goes wrong.
Yeah, they sound good. You should write some of them down in future.
Thank you.
And record them, maybe. Especially if you keep them slightly non-melodic.
The desire for fingers lingers. I miss my lovely fish fingers.
Yeah, you should record that.
No, I shouldn't really.
I think it'd be good.
I like to listen to Adam and Joe, but I listen to the podcast, not the live show. I used to feel acute frustration because I couldn't join in with Text the Nation. But now my troubles have disappeared because Retro Text the Nation's here. And now my letter might be read out instead of thrown in the trash and forgotten about.
The Retro Text the Nation jingle there, and some people are finding that too catchy, almost.
Really?
Yeah, it's so good that people are being put off their stride and getting confused by the goodness of it.
Well, that's a duet between me and my multiple personalities and a listener who provided the beautiful piano accompaniment. Now, the name of the listener has slightly been lost in the Brazil-style bureaucracy, but we're going to dig it out and give him the necessary props next week.
You could remind us, listener, by just emailing the show.
No, we'll find it. We'll find that. We'll definitely find that email. We've got all sorts of highly paid staff here who will burrow into the emails and dig that name out.
That's a good way to go in general, I would say. With some of the jingles we've been getting, like, don't be afraid just to send us a short jingle length instrumental, right? That we can then embellish, because that would work well for us.
It's really pleasurable singing over music that the listeners send in.
Yeah.
maybe not so much for the listeners, but for me it is.
But keep them short. And you know what? While we're on the subject of Retro Text the Nation and messages in general.
Of shortness.
Keep them short in general would be good, because we are getting a lot of messages in.
You're an authority on shortness.
I really am. Because I'm, why? Because I'm a short man. Is that what you mean? Yeah. Is that what you're getting at? It was a little opportunity for shortness dig.
That thought came into my head. And I thought, should I say that? Will Adam be hurt? And I thought, well, I wouldn't be hurt by a tool. You know, you're an authority on tool things.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, that's fine. Say it. So I said it. And now look.
Let's talk about giraffes. You probably know a lot about giraffes, don't you?
I do. I can certainly talk to them face to face in a way that other people can't.
Johnny Long Trousers.
That's me.
Billy Long Shanks.
And I'm proud of it.
I took it all pretty well, though, didn't
I? You did. But we're both very well adjusted.
What I was saying was, you know, it's good to keep things short. The best thing about Twitter, in my opinion, and I'm having some problems with Twitter, but I won't talk about that this week, is that you're limited to 40 characters or whatever it is. You know, it just makes it easier for us to get through all the emails if you keep them as short as you possibly can. Mm. So that's just a little general guideline. But
that's a good thing to say, actually, because we've been getting a lot of emails and we do like to read them all ourselves. You know, we make that promise and we stick to it. But it's good to make them pithy. If they're pithy, then we're more likely to actually, you know, absorb them and read them. Because you've got to distribute the time in an equal way between people, haven't you?
Otherwise, it's like you get on the internet sometimes, TLDR, you know?
What does that stand for?
Too long, didn't read.
Ah. Yeah, that's a useful acronym.
Yeah.
Anyway, but we should also say thanks to everyone who texts us or emails us. Every little word is much appreciated. And here are some emails from people who have responded to last week's Text the Nation subject that was embarrassing or terrible interviews or auditions you'd had.
Mm.
Here's an email from Edward in Dulwich. He says, "Dear Adam and Joe, there was an apocryphal story about a guy at my old school who went for an interview at Cambridge University. When the panel asked him, 'What do you think's your greatest weakness?' he responded, 'Kryptonite.' It doesn't tell us whether he got the job. I'd give that person the job, wouldn't you?"
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you think you're Superman.
Yeah, imagine all the heavy lifting and laser heating that could be done.
Here's one from Sarniebster. It's all one word. I don't know which part.
How's it spelled?
Like Sarni, like a sandwich.
Yeah.
And then Ebster.
Sarniebster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sarniebster, all one word.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Here's one from Sarniebster. "A friend of mine was casting a musical show. A young performer came in and, as her audition piece, proceeded to belt out the classic Gershwin number, 'Let's Call the Whole Thing Off.' You know it. 'You say potato, I say potato.' From the Fred and Ginger movie, 'Shall We Dance?' She was note perfect. She was word perfect. But unfortunately, she'd clearly never heard the song sung aloud or grasped the different pronunciations involved, thus neatly sidestepping the entire point of the song. Her rendition was more like, 'You say potato, I say potato. You say tomato, I say tomato. Potato, potato, tomato, tomato.' Once they'd stopped laughing, they did indeed call the whole thing off."
Oops. Here's another one from Ian. "Hi, Adam and Joe. I have an embarrassing interview story to share. The very first question the interview asked upon entering the room was whether I wanted a coffee. And when I said yes, he asked, 'Milk?' I started to reply, 'Cheers.' But even as the word formed, I realised this wasn't a formal enough answer and decided to say, 'Please.' Sadly, I'd left it too late to switch the word. And what I actually blurted out was, 'Cheese.' 'Cheese?' he asked incredulously. The situation was probably salvageable at this point. But sadly, some horrible, treacherous part of my brain made the split-second decision that ploughing on and pretending that I liked cream cheese in my coffee was less embarrassing than admitting that I was a blathering idiot. When he said they didn't have any cream cheese in the office, I sheepishly agreed to settle for milk. I spent the rest of the interview panicking that if I did somehow get the job, I'd have to continue my cream cheese charade for the rest of my career."
Wow.
Cheese, Ian.
Cheese is a good expression anyway. Just to say instead of cheers.
Does anyone take cream cheese in their coffee?
No.
Is that something that would be tasty? Neither Adam or I drink coffee. Do you drink coffee now?
Not only do I not drink coffee, I loathe cheese.
There we go. So that would be the most evil drink that you could possibly be offered. James, our producer, you drink coffee, right?
No, I don't drink
coffee.
We're all non-coffee drinkers.
Well, a bit of cheese in the coffee might be delicious.
Someone out there must put cheese in their
coffee. A little
coffee.
Bit of brie?
Camembert, that's the...
Be like dunking a biscuit
stuff,
in.
Isn't it?
You could have a little stick of cheese.
Disgusting.
Delicious.
Here's one from Chris Goodman.
He says, 10 years ago, in my mid-20s, I had a very early morning interview for an IT job at a company selling extended warranties on white goods. Sounds like a fun job. Not exactly The Apprentice, and I'm not a great morning person, but I was keen for full-time employment. The interviewer was a slightly David Brent-like 40-year-old man who gave me 20 minutes of company blurb before changing tack and saying, "So, that's enough about us. Tell me about Chris the Man." Accompanied, as I remember it, with a bit of a finger point. Now, this set off a strange reaction in my brain. Was he taking the Michael? Was I allowed to ask him if he was taking the Michael? I started rambling on about how I liked maths and computers, and after 20 seconds, I dried up and stopped. The room fell silent. I looked down at the desk and said nothing. He said nothing. I said nothing back. After about 20 more seconds, I broke the silence to say, "You're starting to unnerve me." Because he was. This unnerved him a lot. I noticed he started squirming around in his chair, fidgeting wildly and not knowing where to look. Still silent, though. I wasn't feeling exceptionally calm myself, so after about 15 seconds I added, "You're really unnerving me now." I didn't get the job.
What was he doing then? Was that some sort of psychological mind game he was playing to test his applicants?
Possibly not, but this is the thing. In the interview situation, you get into these bits of doublethink and mind gamery.
Mm.
And you think, what is that guy?
Well, you want to please the person, don't you? So you're trying to second guess what they want.
Yeah.
And that's never a good tactic in life, is it? This is an email from Julie Wadakor. It's
a good name.
She says, 10 years ago, I managed to blag an interview to join a top oil company. One of the questions asked in a timed exam paper was, "We are opening a new petrol station in July. How would you attract media attention to the opening?" I hit on the wonderful idea of holding a summer barbecue on the forecourt and waxed lyrical about massive gas-powered barbecues, fire jugglers and games for all the family.
Good idea, you would think, because they've got like coal and stuff.
Everyone
there
loves barbecues. Yeah, yeah, plenty of room for fierce fire. When I came home, I told my boyfriend all about my great idea. He just looked at me and then made the sound of a large bomb going off. It was only then that the stupidity of mixing naked flames and petrol struck me. We were told at the interview it would take over a month for them to let us know if we were successful. I received a letter the following day, which unsurprisingly was thanks, but no thanks. Ironically, I now work in marketing, spreading the message about tackling climate change.
Mm.
Julie Wadakor. Well, Julie, your talents are much better used spreading the message about tackling climate change than arranging family barbecues on petrol forecourts.
Exploding barbecues.
Yeah, justice has been done.
Thank you very much indeed for all your messages for Retro Text the Nation this week.
Yeah, and don't forget, if you feel you can contribute to the subject of the actual current active Text the Nation in this week's podcast, which is things that you do to make banal things more entertaining, then send them in to us via email, adamandjoe.sixmusic@bbc.co.uk, and they could be included in next week's Retro Text the Nation. That made sense, didn't it?
Yeah, that was good.
Wicked.
Let's continue with the podcast now. We'll be back with you at the end with information and things.
Robot.
Noises. Beeping noises.
We've got a special listener-made jingle for Text the Nation this time, and this is by Mr. Robert Wilkinson. He's put kind of a country flavour on the whole situation. See what you think.
Text the Nation. Text.
Oh, what if I don't wanna?
Well, if it's an email, is that a problem?
Text. Nice harmonies there at the end.
Very nice. I mean, that sounds as if he might have played those instruments himself. He's not just using GarageBand loops.
Well, it sounds as if he might have some actual talent.
Some talent.
It's unusual, isn't it?
What are you doing here, you
on this program?
You idiot hole.
You've come in the wrong door, mate.
Get out, Wilkinson.
Down the hall.
Thank you very much for that. Now, Text the Nation this week is about games you kind of play in your own head to make life more fun sometimes.
Yeah, autotainment. Someone else came up with a good one, but I've thrown it away, so let's move on.
Nice filing.
Here's one from Martin in Glasgow. He says, "When I go up in a lift, I like to pretend I'm going up to a space shuttle for launch. I start muttering equipment and status checks." That's quite good, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, lifts are boring, and he's made them exciting.
Hey, I think sometimes I think that I'm joining like the last space shuttle for humanity when I'm board a plane. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I sort of think I'm part of the best selected from the remainder of planet Earth.
How deluded.
Well, exactly. But that's the point, isn't it?
The opposite would probably be true.
Enjoyable delusions. What, I'm being weeded out?
Yeah, entering a huge waste disposal unit. Sorry. I mean,
Some people like you, but not enough.
Your name's come up in the rubbish lottery.
Bye-bye. Next.
Chris Moyles, this way.
Yes.
He's in the good plane.
He's in, like, yeah, he's best of the best. Lee in the library, Swansea. I like to flush the toilet before I finish, then race.
What?
Yeah, think about it.
Oh, right. That's an insane game.
Here's another one from Jim Bob.
What kind of game is that?
I've got an old TV that takes ages to warm up. The sound comes on, but no picture for a couple of minutes. I click my fingers at it when I think the picture's going to appear. Ah. It's brilliant when I get it right. It's like I used magic, but I live alone, so there's rarely anyone there to see it. Jim Bob.
His magical house.
My telly's quite responsive, but I can imagine that one.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's a good one. Here's one from Will in London. When I'm using my computer at work, I hover over the bar at the bottom. I'm given the option to lock the taskbar. Every time I see this, I sing, "Lock the taskbar," to the tune of Rock the Casbah, making it seem much less mundane. Lock the taskbar, lock the taskbar. That's the song. Douglas Carter, a Black Squadron member in London, says this is my contribution to things people do to make mundane things more epic. Mm. When I get in the lift at work, I pretend I'm a shaman and the lift only moves at my command. So as the doors close, I perform an elaborate upward or downward crouching sweep with my arms. I haven't been caught doing it yet. I mean, that's a good one, isn't it? To pretend that you control the movements of all objects in the world psychically.
Sure, I do that one. There's a door
at home.
It's
kind of thing Jim Carrey probably does in the street.
Crazy stuff.
Like yeah.
There's a door at home that swings very slowly shut. Mm. And I like to control it with my arms.
There you go. That's exactly the kind of thing.
Controlling the movement of the door.
That's a good noise for it to make as well. That's a farty noise.
Yeah, that was actually a fart.
Sam in Edinburgh says, "Dear Adam and Joe, when I have the time, especially at work, I like to position my head so that objects in my field of vision line up exactly."
Nice.
It gives me some sense of order in this chaotic and scary world.
That's a whole other thing, though, isn't it? I mean, that fits into this textination, but people who
slightly
like to
compulsive.
Organize things. You know, if you look at a sign, you want to make the you want to organize the letters of the word in the sign so that they kind of match. You have to find the center letter.
Wow, it's all gone a bit Rain Man in here. Who's on third base?
Outside my tiny little cafe in Paris, you'll find two men called Adam and Joe. All day they sit just talking away. Sometimes I listen and hear what they say. Blah 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 waffles. Blah 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 pancakes. They're making a podcast apparently. It sounds like a load of old crap to me. Oh, I am making the joke.
Now, I'm a big fan of telly when it goes wrong. Everybody is, right?
Sure.
Dennis Norden, he runs the department. Is he still with us?
I hope so. Yeah,
hope
he
so.
Is. Yeah,
he runs the department where you clip bloopers, him and Terry Wogan.
And Robinson.
And Robinson occasionally.
In there as well. Outtake
yeah.
TV.
Everyone loves an outtake.
Sure.
Things going wrong on telly can be very funny. They can also be terrifying. In horror movies, it's used as a sort of signifier of the collapse of society, isn't it? If you see, like, a newsreader running away from his seat or the studio being invaded by zombies or something, like in Romero films, that was a weird intake
of breath.
Coughed
up one of your little lungs there.
That's Lady Hawk again, getting in the pipes. But I came across a brilliant bit of bloopery on the BBC News a couple of months ago that I recorded. And don't you find that pleasurable when you're flicking through channels and suddenly you notice that the picture's frozen or something?
Yeah.
Or that there's an ident just going round and round. It happens often on satellite stations that no one bothers to watch.
Yeah.
Sometimes the picture will go wrong or the sound will go wrong and no one will be fixing it.
That's right.
Do you know what I mean? And it's really fun to sit there and wait for whoever, you know, whatever man in some box somewhere is supposed to be monitoring
the
channel's output.
You have the mistaken impression that maybe TV stations are run like Mars missions with huge rooms full of
a slick,
men.
Unstoppable machine.
Exactly. But usually, often it just comes down to one bloke manning a VCR.
Right. And vision mixing mistakes are great fun, I think, as well. I like nothing more than when a reporter on the news throws to someone and the wrong clip comes on, or there's the wrong caption under the wrong bit of footage, or the guy they're throwing to isn't quite ready.
And they'll get rattled sometimes and they'll make one mistake after the
other. Yeah, yeah. Well, this is what happens here. This is off. I can't quite remember what I got it off. It's BBC News. I'm not sure whether it's News 24 or the actual main news.
They love bloopers on News 24.
Well, they do a lot of them on News 24. But here's quite a good one. She tries to cover this up, but she doesn't really succeed. And she does a pretty good malapropism in trying to cover it up. So that you just got to imagine you've tuned into News 24 and, you know, they've got that audio sting. And basically the first thing that caught my attention was the sting was just revolving infinitely. It didn't seem to be resolving in any way. So it was clear something was going wrong.
Yeah.
It was staying on for too long. And this is what then happened.
Good evening and welcome to The Problem. We seem to be having some few problems this morning. I do apologise for that.
Good evening and welcome to The Problem. I mean, the BBC's got a whole raft of new problems that they're launching in the summer. Some hosted by Russ Abbott. Bruce is back with a big new problem.
We might get a new problem.
We are. We're one of the BBC's biggest problems.
We're one of their main problems.
We're digital radio's biggest problem. Hello and welcome to The Problem. And then she's got to say problem again. And she knows she can't say problem again. So she has to do a hesitation and a switcheroo. And then just play it once more. I love it. It's just like a sort of obstacle course for her.
Good evening and welcome to The Problem. We seem to be having some few problems this morning. I do apologise for that.
I do apologise that for that.
We seem to be having some few problems.
That is wicked. It really makes me feel for her. She did a very professional job. I can't quite remember who that was.
I mean, that's the thing. We can't string a sentence together best of times.
You're wearing no place to point the finger at other people. But we can share a kind of spirit of bonding between other hopeless presenters on the BBC.
Come and join us here on Six Music.
Yeah, she should have a regular slot.
Get out of News 24. There's way too much weight of expectation and professionalism there. Yeah. Come and join us here on Six Music. We're having a good time.
That was a great chat. Here comes another. Adam and Joe are rocking the podcast now.
Oh, Martin.
Excuse me.
Okay, folks, here's a little special podcast insert for you now with news about the Camden Crawl.
As you know, we're doing the show live from the Camden Crawl next Saturday morning, the 25th of April, from 9 till noon. But we would very much like some listeners to come and be in the studio with us to watch the show being made. It's extraordinary how it's made. You might think that it's just a couple of idiots desperately struggling to fill 3 hours of airtime. No. I mean, when you see it in the flesh, it's extraordinary.
The saggy hair and flesh.
the eye bags, the sense of hopelessness. It can all be yours to enjoy live and in the flesh.
Come and see how old we've got. We'll be inviting around about 20 of you to join us as our audience at the Camden Crawl. And the way that you can be part of that audience is thusly.
All you have to do is wait until 9 o'clock in the morning on Wednesday, the 22nd of April. And at that moment, a special area on the site will go live where you can register your details. And then we're going to pick 10 people from that list, 10 of the people who've registered their details, and they will be invited to come and see the show and bring a friend. Hence the 20 people.
Oh, and bring a friend, hence the 20 people. Right. I was trying to do the calculations.
Well, that's good thinking, you see, because you don't want 20 lonely, scared individuals who are... But then if you've got 10 pairs of mates, imagine the party atmosphere.
Yeah, it's going to be fun, man. We're looking forward to it very much. So hopefully see you then.
Yeah, don't forget, you will need to make your own way to Camden Town if you don't live in London. Quite a few people don't live in London.
Do they?
Yeah, apparently you don't live in London.
That's true, there is life outside London. So that's exciting. See you there, I hope.
Look forward to it.
I'm a funny person. I often make up jokes. My jokes are more amusing than those of other folks. When you hear my joke, I think you'll find that you agree. Come on, you're all invited to a made-up joke party.
Anyway, we've got some really good made-up jokes still being sent in to us, and we would encourage you to keep them coming.
The key point is that they're made up. They have to be authored.
Or you have to believe 100% that you created the joke, right?
Yeah, and we're not... I mean, personally, my favourite ones are the ones that are really quite tortured.
Sure. And we've had quite a few of those.
Yeah.
Do you want to start?
No, I think you should start.
All right. Here's one from Paul Treys in Morden.
Treys.
Hi, Adam and Joe.
I have a joke I created, but I fear it's so good.
Oh, no, I've got this one as well.
Yeah, we probably all got the same
one. Well, I've only got two.
Well, why don't you read that one out then?
Really? Have you got more than two?
Yeah, I've got more than two.
Thank you. I have a joke I created, but I fear it's so good that it must already exist. Question, what do you call a nervous Jedi?
I don't know.
Answer, Panakin Skywalker. I think this is amazing and swear blind that I thought it up. Thanks a lot. Your friend in time, Paul Trazen.
I mean, that is a good one, isn't it? That
Panakin
stood out.
Panakin Skywalker.
Here's one from Corey Marsh. This is a good one. This is an Easter one. Hi, Adam and Joe. Re-rubbish jokes. It was Easter the other day and I came up with a blinder. Arnold Schwarzenegger was upset last week because he didn't get any Easter eggs. His secretary...
I remember this one.
Because he's the governor of California, right? His secretary said to him, Mr. Governor, does this mean that you hate Easter now? And Arnold replied, Nah, I still love Easter, baby.
That's good.
Come on.
That's very good.
I still love Easter, baby.
That's brilliant.
Corey
Marsh. That's just good.
That's brilliant. And
I've got one.
Well, Corey finishes by saying, my girlfriend thinks that is a stupid joke. But what does she know? Regards, Corey.
Lots of people, male people, or when I say lots, I mean one other, wrote in and gave us, I can't remember what the joke was, but he said, I told this to my girlfriend and she said to me, I don't find that sort of thing funny. Well, it was just a bit of light wordplay.
Yeah.
But the girlfriend dissed it, slapped it down.
Girls can be very odd about attempts at humour sometimes.
Well,
they don't like it. Sometimes it's a
generalisation.
Is it?
Might be.
No.
But to speak in generalisations, there does seem to be a sort of a male and female sense of humour, doesn't there?
Right.
I mean, women find Alan Carr very funny. So do I. But maybe as a rule, men find Alan Carr slightly less funny. Do you think that's true?
It's possible.
It's possible. We could get into deep water here. I'm going to back out of the water and lie on my towel on the beach for a bit. Here's another joke. This is from Simon Hall. It says, you ready for this one?
Yep.
A dog named Minton ate a shuttlecock. Bad Minton. Now, what I like about that is you could actually execute that joke in a social, event. Like, you've got a dog.
Yeah.
And you name him Minton. And all day you're naming him Minton. And then he eats a shuttlecock. You put some Marmite on the end or something.
What?
And then you turn to your friends and go, bad Minton. And you've spent all that. You've actually named your dog so that you can do that joke.
Yeah.
And it's brilliantly convoluted.
And you've also forced the dog to
eat a shuttlecock.
A shuttlecock.
Just so that you can do a bit of feeble wordplay. I think that's brilliant. Well done, Simon Hall.
I've used up my best ones. Actually, I say that, but here's one from Kent Belm. And he says B-O-E-H-M.
A berm.
Belm. A berm. Kent says, what do you call a president that can cure a hangover? Barack Obama. Barack Obama.
Nice. Listen, keep your made-up jokes coming in. We do enjoy them. They've got to be made up and they've got to be convoluted and slightly painful.
I still love Easter, baby.
The email address is adamandjoe.6music@bbc.co.uk. You still laughing at that one?
I still love Easter, baby. That's amazing. I mean, that's an absolutely watertight joke, Corey Marsh. You're a genius.
Yo, what's going on? What's the scene? Who the heck are these crazy guys?
Well, one's called Adam and the other's called Joe, and you're listening to their podcast.
Oh!
Time to catch up with some Stephen news now. If you've never listened to this show before, then let me tell you that Stephen is a thing that has kind of grown up thanks to our listeners. It's a way they communicate with each other. If you're out in public and you shout, Stephen! And someone you've never met before shouts, just coming! Then you know that you are both listeners to this show. That's it in a nutshell. But it's kind of controversial because in some places people are getting a bit bored with it, a bit angry with it. I noticed on YouTube, I put a video of myself up listening to our podcast in my shed on my YouTube channel. And there was a certain amount of Stevenage going on there and swinging Tarzan-like to a few other clips that had an Adam and Joe connection. There were people getting very irritated with people writing Stephen and deliberately giving them a thumbs down. You know, you can you can rate down comments on YouTube. And someone saying, give automatic thumbs down to anyone who shouts Stephen and all this kind of stuff.
Do you think they're people that hate the program and us?
Maybe.
Or do you think they just are irritated Killjoys. By the Stephen meme?
Yeah, I mean, there's a certain type of person who just gets irritated once a little
cultish thing gets rolling, don't they?
You know, I understand that you would find Stephen irritating. Yeah. I can understand it's slightly irritating, but it's also slightly fun.
Yeah, it's fun, and you know, you just have to give into it.
It's a spiky, prickly thing. Sticky is the term, isn't it? Mm. They used to use in advertising, right?
Sure.
Sticky, it's annoying, but it kind of clings to your clothes.
Yeah, it's fun. Here's a message from Bill. He says, "Dear Adam and Joe, in light of recent comments on your show regarding inappropriate Stevenage, I took it upon myself to get a T-shirt printed up to combat this trend. See attached photo. He's a handsome man, and he's wearing a T-shirt that says, promoting responsible Stevenage."
It's a nicely made T-shirt, isn't it?
Yeah, it looks great.
He's got a good little beard as well, hasn't he? A sort of emerging stubbly beard, the man.
He's a handsome man. Mm. But, you know, we promote responsible Stevenage. We don't want to put the performers off, and we don't want to ruin gigs for other people, whether they're comedy gigs or music gigs and that kind of thing. So that's what Bill is responding to brilliantly with his T-shirt there. He says, "I wore my T-shirt on Sunday to see Block Party in Foles, and I'm happy to report a lack of irresponsible call and response. Writing down the word Stevenage, however, reminds me of another quandary, the spelling. You'll see that I've gone for the classic satellite town spelling, i.e. with a V, and not Stephen with a PH, which lacks the double meaning. Have I made a grave error? I actually assumed that you would spell it with a PH, because the original Stephen was with a PH.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So Stevenage would be Stevenage with a PH, right?
In which case, that fella's T-shirt is wrong.
It's wrong. He can always print another one.
But that means it's unique.
Yeah.
I mean, it's special.
But it's a mistake most people make when they're talking about the phenomenon of Stevenage. They usually use a V. I would say it's a PH.
Yeah.
All right, just to clear that up. Anyway, thank you very much indeed, Bill, and good T-shirt.
However, there's been a more worrying Stephen development, because there was some Stephen shouting at the Bat for Lashes concert. Here is an email. Is this the right one? Yeah, here we go. This is from Christine Jones. "Hi, Adam and Joe. I went to see Bat for Lashes at the Junction in Cambridge on Easter Monday. About four songs in, Natasha was talking to the audience when a Stephen cry came from the audience, followed by Just Coming in chorus from about 20% of the audience, myself included. Natasha then said there had been far too many Stevens this tour, and she was thinking of introducing a penalty."
Ooh.
Now, what could that mean? She's obviously engaged the audience in a discussion about Stephen, expressed her dislike of it.
She's irritated by
it. She's irritated, and she's threatening to actually issue some sort of penance, some kind of punishment.
What would your penalty be from Natasha Khan?
Ejection from the... I mean...
Withholding of glitter privileges.
Why do you think she's annoyed?
Well, because it's just an annoying thing, isn't it? Like, when a trend starts, it's like someone shouts out a catchphrase or whatever, and then you start hearing it over and over again. You sort of think, it's those nerds or whatever.
Nerds.
You know, I'm just putting myself in her mind. I don't think they're nerds. I think they're cool. Let's wrap up Textination right now.
The theme this week is stuff you do to make games you play with yourself to make mundane activities more exciting and epic and dramatic.
Mm-hmm.
Leanne in Belfast says, "When asked, do I wish to proceed when entering a website, I find myself saying under my breath, 'You bet your ass I wish to proceed.'" Like the computer hacker in Die Hard. "You bet your ass." That's good. Tom, age 21, in Lancaster, says, "Hi, Adam and Joe. When I'm on a train that isn't very busy, I like to slouch down in my seat so that I can only see the sky out of the window and pretend the train is flying."
Oh, I know that feeling.
I had a similar thing when I was at school and riding to school on the top deck of a double-decker bus. I used to imagine there was no bottom deck, and it was a top deck strapped to the back of a Bantha.
A Bantha from Empire Strikes Back?
Yes.
Or no, Star Wars.
Star Wars, yes.
Yeah.
And when it went over potholes and wobbled, I used to think that was the wobbling Bantha.
Mm.
Yeah?
Oh, you're so imaginative.
Aren't I just? My imagination is full of images from Star Wars, an obscure film that no one's ever seen or thought about.
Obscure art film.
Obscure film from Americans. Jamie Sadler, aged 30, says, "This Text the Nation is helping me realise I'm a bit less mental than I had assumed. Mm. Thank you." Then he says something that slightly undercuts that statement. "I nod at traffic lights to allow them to change."
Hey, that's a good one.
Is it?
Yeah.
Right.
I know that feeling.
I mean, you could get your authority challenged and undermined when the headlights, what are they called?
Traffic lights?
Yeah, when they change without a nod.
Right.
Because they'd be flying in your face flagrantly if they changed, wouldn't they? They'd be disobeying you.
That would be a bad feeling. Certainly you'd get
do you do that?
And toity about it.
Hoity-toity.
Yeah, I like to nod at traffic lights every now and again. Good. It's nice. We talked about this before. Feeling you're controlling inanimate objects is a good feeling, a good powerful feeling. I control the world!
Like your Carrie, at the end of Carrie.
Right.
Here we go. Dean in Toronto Dean in Toronto, County Durham, says, when I'm filling my car up at the petrol station, I pick a four-digit number, such as 1982, the year I was born. Then I hold the petrol pump on full flow until the number in the price window is nigh. Do you get what he's saying there?
Yeah.
The aim is to get the price exactly as £19.82. You only get one go. Well, that is I like to do that, but just round it up to 20 quid.
Mm-hmm.
And then I get annoyed if it's £20.01, you know, or 5p. Anybody listening?
That's a good one. I never do that. I just go for a full tank. Why do you only get like 20 quid's worth?
I don't know. That's a good point. Why don't I fill the whole tank up? Because I'm stingy.
Yeah.
I just like
Johnny Stingebag.
That's a good question, actually. I always get 20 quid's worth of petrol.
And you get tiny amounts out of the cash point as well, don't you? Johnny Stingebag.
Yeah, well, I tend to get, 30 or 40 quid. It's true.
What's the point?
But
of
I'm
that?
Loaded. That's the point. I'm loaded.
Absolutely loaded.
Yeah.
What's the logic then? Because you've got no more room because you've got so many money bags around you.
I just spent so long in my life with no money at all.
Yeah.
Do you know? We're just living from 50p to 50p, that now that I've got a tiny bit of money...
You're still frugal.
I'm saving it up for something.
Mm.
I'm not sure. I think I'm saving it up to be taken by the government when I die.
So you've got all this money.
Through tax and
I'm
death
proposing
duties.
Spending all my nectar points for a points party.
Yeah,
which will
that's not real money.
Sometime in the future. Yeah, of course that's real money. That's supporting my family. And I rashly just said, I'm going to blow all my nectar points on a points party.
Well, that's what I'm saving it up for, to support my family, if I have a family, to send them to the world's poshest schools.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, St. Oities.
And that's the end of this week's podcast. Now here's a goodbye link.
Thank you. You've been wonderful. Throw me your dirty pants. I'll wash them and get them back to you. Thank you.
Well, that's it for our podcast, ladies and gentlemen. And it's always a sad moment when this rolls around, isn't it, in my shed, for me personally.
Really?
Yeah.
Well done on your video, by the way,
thanks
in your shed.
Much. And thanks to everyone who watched it and commented thereon. I was going to bring a selection of some of the YouTube comments, but my broadband never works when I want it to work. So I might do that next week.
You see, I think that video of you in your shed was a very good collaboration between us, because I suggested you do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you did it, and it was a big success.
Right.
Therefore, I didn't have to do anything, but yet I still, by making it clear that I suggested it, have got the kudos of...
And does it matter that you suggested it after I thought of doing it anyway?
No, it doesn't. In fact, it makes it even more of my idea.
Yeah. Well, no, thanks to everyone who watched that. Mm. Here's another thing, though. I always, because we're getting so many messages for... Here's another thing. Because we're getting so many messages to this show, right?
Mm.
Sometimes it upsets me very deeply that we're not able to read all of the good ones out, because we do get a lot of great messages.
Yes.
So I was thinking maybe one way to deal with this is to give some shout-outs at the end of the show, right?
Yep.
To people who sent in particularly fun or interesting messages that we weren't able to include. But there's a lot of shout-outs.
Mm.
So we're going to have to speed the shout-outs up a little bit. Condensed shout-outs. So let's see how this goes. This may not be a feature that we continue with on the podcast, but we'll give it a try this week and see how it goes.
Yeah, if you sent an email or message to us and it hasn't been read out and you feel bereft, then listen very closely to the following high-pitched squealing, because you might be able to discern your name being credited.
Here we go. Thank you very much to...
Chris Nanny from Maidstone, who liked Dime Spartacus, the Radio 4 show I did and wanted to know when Spadge, I dropped my pencil, Spadge, was going to come back, I don't know. Laurie, who wrote a very long, very nice email. Naomi James, who wet herself at the karate audition. Tom Carstairs, who did an insane Irish jingle. Corin, who responds to each podcast subject by subject in a very lovely, non-reviewist, conversational type way. Adam Lyon, who sent a deeply insane square pusher type song made up from samples of his brother Joe. Nick Farmer from the West Midlands, who thought we suggested that we have better accents than other DJs, not in fact the case, you misunderstood Nick Farmer. Andy Race from Australia, who begged us to read out his email on the podcast. Jenny, whose t-shirt we signed and still hasn't reached her. Sorry, Jenny, hope it turns up. Everyone who wrote about being trapped in those circular toilet cubes cubicles on trains. Joe in Bridlington for the picture of the £5 note that he came across with Stephen written on it illegally. Ed Jepson, who shouted Stephen on a Ferris wheel. Helen in Shepherd's Bush, who sent a very, very long email. Chris Rose, who was worried that we might be arguing too much and might divorce. Don't worry, Chris, we've never been happier. Emma Green McInnes, who sent a joke about bipolar bears that was funny. Emma. Laura Redburn liked our DVD and thinks Joe looks like young Sherlock. Yes, it's been said before. Rosie and Ron, who got thrown out of Asda for shouting Stephen and wanted mugs and t-shirts in return. Sorry, we didn't have any as yet. Heather, who sent pictures of an amazing looking Easter egg hunt. Oliver Primus, who runs the 405 website, who illustrated our gig guide. And yes, it does seem as if Word magazine has slightly ripped that off, but maybe they didn't realise. And finally, congratulations to Mr. Russell Moore for getting engaged to Jill.
There you go. There's our speeded up shout outs. Hope that some of you are able to discern your names in there.
And I should point out, Word magazine thought of the Gig Manifesto Guide before we did. And in fact, when we talked about it, I mentioned that they'd done it before.
Right.
So it's the other way around.
Is it?
If you didn't actually discern that bit of the previous spiel, then this will be meaningless.
Well, a couple of people did point out that Word magazine had a gig guide that was very similar to the one that we did a few weeks ago.
They'd done it before us.
They did it before. So there you go. It's all settled now. Thanks for listening.
We'll see you next week.
Take care. Love you. Bye.
Bye.
If you enjoyed the Adam and Joe podcast,
then why not try the John Richardson podcast? Download it now.
bbc.co.uk/6music.
A wee or a poo in the potty or the loo is the way to get some chocolate.